Well, welcome to Heart of the Father. I think we're on episode 72.
Really? Already?
Yeah.
Is this American Christian?
It is American Christian. It is, Dr. Nichols.
Okay. Wow. Man, imagine that.
I know. I really am surprised at how long we've been. We just started out with just this an idea, and now we're
right.
We're here today.
Right.
Today, we have in studio Miss Janice Reynolds. She's the office assistant here at Heart of the Father. You can say hi, Jan.
Hi. Amen.
Amen. That's really Jan. Yeah.
And Jan is jazzed because she is freshly back from a mission trip to Tanzania.
Yeah. Talk about that a little bit. You said that you were kind of starting to have some dreams or some visions about.
Yeah, I was having memories. I had gone to Tanzania with Heart of the Father back in 2009. Mm. You know, it was a two-country trip, Tanzania and Rwanda. And a few months back, I started having some memories of the trip into Tanzania. And, you know, I didn't understand it. It would just come up and then it'd fade away and then later on it'd come up again. But I almost had this sense of, like, I wish I could do it over, or
that was maybe
second chances.
That was maybe
something.
The Robbers Forest trip part. You wanted to do over.
I had no problem with that. I thought that was a hoot.
Yeah, well, it was in its own way.
That's another time.
Right.
But anyway, so I didn't really understand it because I didn't, you know. Okay, that was my first missions trip as such, but, you know, I didn't really have any forebodings about it or, you know, bad memories.
Right.
But anyway, it was just kind of odd.
You weren't backing away from the fact that you were having these dreams about Tanzania, like, oh my gosh, I don't want to go there ever again. Right?
No,
right?
No,
but it was like,
all.
Hey, well,
no.
Yeah, this was...
It was just, you know,
yeah.
Just a curiosity because I didn't understand it.
And then, Doc, you made the approach then, right, when you got word.
Right.
I had asked at a staff meeting when we were around the table, I said, are you planning another trip overseas? And that's when it came out that you, Pete, were planning on leading one.
Well, there was no planning.
There was no planning.
It was just happening.
It was more of a happening thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And Doc just brought it up. Why would you want to go? And it was yes.
Yeah. It really was the Lord being out in front, right?
He was out in front.
Man, that was kind of one of the high marks of this whole trip was God being out in front.
Right.
Yeah.
Because
right.
I didn't think I would ever make a trip over there again.
Yeah.
I really didn't.
It's not a fun bus ride.
Well, I just thought with the way it was going as far as teaching pastors and, you know, just the format it was taking, it was okay. That's something that was done
right.
for me.
So it was a
major surprise.
Right. So when you heard that you were going to teach, that wasn't really an, oh, no, a deal's
oh,
off.
Oh, it was.
Of. Oh, it was.
Not the initial. Yeah, that first night, it was like panic attack time. It was, it's just, wait a minute. I've had confirmation I'm supposed to go.
Yeah.
And the whole thing. You know, he got this covered.
Right.
So just, you know. And I thought that was the end of it. Mm. Until I got to Tanzania.
Mm.
And those couple of days leading up to when I was supposed to teach, the anxiety level went up and I didn't get a grip on it. So that first day, that Wednesday that I taught, the first one, it was kind of a mess. It was kind of a big mess because I would blank out. I skipped sections of what I was planning to say. You know, I was just very nervous.
And how did the people respond to that?
They were very gracious. I mean, the ladies themselves didn't say anything, but the leadership was very gracious. Oh, they were blessed by it. You made good points. But it really wasn't pretty at all. It was sad from my perspective.
But then
the Lord brought you through it. Though.
But he brought me through it.
Yeah.
You know, that's not something I'm used to doing. And, you know, he brought me through it, and I didn't sit and, you know, kick myself for too long afterwards, a little bit.
Right. Because 24 hours later, you had to go back in there again.
That's right. So, you know, I was a little bit more prepared, but he had switched overnight. Not so much what I was going to say on the second day, but my approach to it. I got called out by the Lord on it because I was, okay, this time instead of notes, I'm going to write the whole thing out.
Mm-hmm.
And I had trouble writing it out. And I said, you know, did I totally miss it here on this whole speaking thing?
What do you mean by missing it? What do you?
You know, that I couldn't get it to come together and stuff. So I asked him, you know, did I miss it? You know, I'm just kind of going in circles here. And he said, no, Jan, you are beating around the bush. Mm. You know, I'm trying to make it like it's supposed to be palatable and what people might expect from me. Instead of just saying what was on my heart.
Ooh. A boldness.
Yeah. Well, that's speaking from your heart. That really is important.
I mean, it was the same points, but a different way, and it just wasn't. So he had called me out on it. So I changed it up, just wrote it out. It was short and sweet. And the next day, I asked Bishop Marissa if I could just take my little chair, instead of standing at the podium way back from the ladies, take my little chair, go sit on the edge of the platform, and sit there and talk to them. That's what I'm used to doing. That's how I talk to people. And he said, sure. So that's what I did. Hallelujah. And it went just fine, because I was, you know, it was my heart, my way. This is how I talk.
And you probably and relaxed more, too.
I relaxed more.
Yeah.
And the spirit was able to move then,
right.
Where before it was so
bound up, maybe?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, another part of this whole trip, too, and you guys, I'm trying to remember when that miraculous offering of $14,500 came in from one church in one day, a church of 50 people gave that offering. You remember that?
That was the Sunday directly following the decision to go.
Okay, that's right. And we were, okay, Lord, we need some confirmation on this. He goes, okay, how about 14.5? And this wasn't a large church. I mean, the pastor there was just delighted. That's the part of that whole thing that amazed me, is how happy he was in having that happen. In fact, there's a story to that, too, where he presented it to the people at an offering in a Sunday night service. So they took it, and the whole service went by, and he came up to Sherry and me at the end of the service and said, well, I'm sorry, we didn't quite make it. We only got 13.5. And I'm like, well, Pastor. But he didn't realize a lady had come to the table and had swiped a card for $1,000 just before he came up. And I said, no, Pastor, we got it. We got the 14.5. And the look on his face and how that gave him joy, I'll never forget that. It just was awesome. And then, of course, for all of us, for Jan and Pete and me, and the team was like, wow, Lord, you're in this.
Totally.
Yeah, because everyone's money and stuff for the trip was just chink, chink, chink. Yeah. It was right there.
Yeah.
You know, we were all good to go.
Yeah. And I didn't have any personal money at all. And I was still waiting for that moment to, like, okay, so everybody else has, their money has come in. But I knew this guy who knew another guy, and we had to do a bathroom remodel.
Oh yeah.
And we didn't know anything about going to Tanzania when you were starting to plan the remodel
That's
for your
true.
For your bathroom. That's I mean, that
true.
Was just like, you needed it to get it done. It was right. one of those things. Right. And so, boom, out in front, everything came together. And it was so nice watching him come through. Even on the night before the second meeting with the gals, right? Here he is, out in front.
He's out in front.
Coming forward. And Jan, you're going to have your moment because you're my daughter and you have something to say.
Right.
And
yeah.
that's when
and he had yep.
we got the second confirmation from Bishop, how there were people that were calling him saying, come, will you come to where we're at and do this, what you're doing in Kahama.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, that was after the girls. That was nothing before the crusade. That was nothing before Lloyd and I went on for the Friday and Saturday.
Really?
The word was already going out.
Wow.
That there was power that was being displayed in Kahama.
See, I didn't even know about that.
I thought you did know about that.
I did know about that.
That is so true. Yeah. And I was just kind of like, wow. Like, well, how is this possible?
Yeah.
I'll tell you how it's possible. Everybody has these little brick phones, and they have these apps on them called WhatsApp.
Right,
and
right.
so they can be in a place, and they're click, click, clicking away and sending off information to all the people that they know, these pastor gals,
wow.
right?
Wow.
They're sending that information out, taking pictures, sending it, and then Bishop gets... And the thing of it was is that Kahama doesn't even belong to Bishop Marissa.
Right.
That's not even his territory.
That's not his territory.
Oh, really?
So how he started walking into Kahama, and we were with him, talk about the Lord being out in front. I mean, it was just
right.
amazing.
Right.
But you know another thing, Jan, from your testimony, the part you just gave, when the Lord corrects us as our Father, that is so important to grasp hold of. Because...
Right.
So many of us from our human fathers were like, oh, man, I don't want a spanking. You know, I don't want to sit in the corner. I don't want a talking to because of how our fathers did it. But when the Father's love heals us and we start to see when he brings a correction like that, he's taking it in a whole direction that is going to enable ministry. It is going to bless other people. It's going to wind up changing you yourself.
And it did.
Yeah.
Definitely a Doug.
Yeah, that's the heart of the Father.
That's the heart of the Father.
And so, kind of along that lines, too, is because now you're pretty much, you know, when we're in a foreign place, there's not a lot of distraction for us because we're not connected digitally. We're not connected any. So most of our conversation now is really focused towards the Lord. But in that, you were talking about visions. Things were starting to come to you while you were in Kahama.
Yeah. I had been in a fog for a couple of years as far as vision goes. I'm a prophetic artist. I mean, I can paint without it being prophetic here and there, but not very often. And I had just been in this fog for 2 years. So to start seeing any visions, and this was during prayer time, you know, when you and Pastor Lloyd were speaking to the men, you know, Jenny and I were back and praying. And
right.
it was in that and together, you know, a lot of it kind of fed off each other, you know, what she would pray or what I would pray. And I would start seeing things again, and this had not happened for a while. I mean, there'd be little glimpses once in a while, but as far as on a regular basis, you know, that hadn't been for a couple years, and there's a couple reasons for that. But yeah, it started opening that up again, where I could see again.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was about you. In fact, I think the major one was where I had seen you, and all you were doing was, I was born for this, I was born for this, and just this sense of you going. And how that defines out, I don't know. But it was so strong, it put me in tears, both at the time and then later on. It was almost like a release or a letting go. So, you know, like I said, I won't define it because I don't have that. But it was very powerful and very strong. Other ones were like just seeing men, like Jenny had seen a man that was, you know, he had to make the choice between two opinions. And I started laughing because what I saw him was a foot on either side of a fence, and then the fence being electrified, he had to choose, you know. So,
wow. Man.
Did you ever?
I know, you know, it may not be pretty, but it was funny.
That's what's going on. Yeah.
That's what's going on. You know, it was things like that. You know, they weren't these huge, yes, you know, I'm going to print this in the news kind of things. It was.
Right.
But it was still breakthrough. Yeah. It was starting.
Right.
The fog was lifting.
The foundation.
Yeah.
You're seeing what's underneath your feet.
Yeah.
You know, the man on the fence, just to share with you, you may or may not know this, but that man on the fence was Jenny.
Okay. Yep.
And then her having to make a choice as to which direction was she going to go. How was she was on the fence about a job that she had, about money, and how that...
Making that choice.
Making the choice that she was going to be in full pursuit of the Lord. Mm. And what does that, you know, how does that change us, you know, even for, if our listeners are listening in right now, and you're talking about like, was it anything that you did to move in pursuit of God, or was it God was in pursuit of you and you realized it?
Yes. Yes, I think it's both. You know, of course he's pursuing us. You know?
Yeah.
Without him, we can do nothing, including pursue him.
Mm.
But then there has to be that heart cry, too, that, you know, hey, I've been in this spot for a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, finally getting tired of being in that spot for a long time. I mean, there were times in that stretch where I didn't want to come out. You know, it's all forget it. You know, I'm done. That kind of deal.
You mean with painting or?
With the visions, with the intercession. You know, I had basically, I prayed. But as for really interceding, I had walked away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that was just disobedience. You know, if I don't understand what is or isn't happening, you know, basing my obedience on whether I understand or not, well, that makes me Lord. Not him, you know.
Yeah.
And now I forgot what I was going to say.
Boy, that's so important, Jan, what you just said right there about intercession and understanding the difference between praying, which we all need to do. Right. Every believer
needs to be praying.
Right. But some are called to actual intercession and to be intercessors. And when you have that call on you and then you disobey, and everybody does it that is called. Yep. I mean, we don't all get it perfectly, but to come back and realize, because right now, the way our world is and the way our nation is, listener, I'm just telling you, intercession is really the only thing that's going to save this nation and save this world from destruction. Mm-hmm. When you really boil it down, and there are things we can do. We need to take actions. We need to have, you know, rallies and different things. But if we don't pray this through in real intercession to the presence of God and get somewhere near the level of what Daniel was at in chapter 9.
Right.
Where Daniel got down to it. And think of this. He was a government official. He was like the number two or three guy in the whole world government of that day. And yet God called him to that interceding. And in that chapter, he goes in and confesses the sins of the nation.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
And gets down to it and gets the revelation, really, that takes it all the way from his time, from, you know, the 530s BC right up to the time of Christ, and all that knowledge and all that information. But all of it came forth because he was willing to intercede.
Yeah, and part of it was just I wasn't seeing what I wanted to see. You know, I wasn't seeing the results.
Mm-hmm.
So the discouragement and things like that was setting in. That was the excuse. Two of the best pieces of advice I have ever been given by pastors. One pastor said, "Don't let your eyes mess you up." Well, that's my biggest downfall. I let my eyes mess me up. If I don't see it in the natural, you know, the McDonald's, you know, drive through, let's see it happen kind of thing. Over a period of time, I can give up on it.
And you are a visually oriented person.
I am.
Paintings and colors and
you read
all
the
that.
Bible, yeah. Especially like the Old Testament. I mean, it's all pictures. You know, that's
right.
And what was
and the
second?
Other one is to just breathe, Jan. And that's that anxiety and that, you know, where I don't rest.
Mm.
I used to walk all the time for that reason, you know, because it would relax me and then I could hear and I could see. And, you know, you get all tense and tight and you start carrying the load yourself.
Yeah. Mm. That's interesting.
That was a big chunk of it.
Right. And listener, please understand now, we're not saying that it's a bad thing to be a visual person, because many of you are. Jan is. I mean, there are gifts with that that the Lord really wants to heighten and take and use.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go into a dependence on that and into relying on that instead of that with the Lord as the Lord's good gift, that's where you can get set up for that disillusionment.
Right. And that's what happened.
That is what happened, yeah.
Yeah. Where it becomes a burden to carry instead of a blessing to pass out.
But praise God, God didn't leave you there.
Nope, he didn't leave me there.
But you pressed in, though, too, like you said before. God does his big part, but we have to do our little part.
Yep.
And they've got to come together in a cooperation.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst.
There
and you
go.
Know you need to be hungry and thirsty and keep pursuing.
For righteousness.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So maybe we just take these next couple minutes and just talk about how the prophetic worked its way, or how did that enter into your life? I mean, as I don't know if that was something that happened 20 years ago, 10 years ago, but when did you know that this was, like, walk us through that from the beginning.
From the beginning?
Yeah.
Well, I made an altar call at 7.
Oh.
And I started painting. Well, I was drawing and stuff all the time before that, but I started painting after that because right after that little thing at Vacation Bible School, I got teased. And I'm the kind of girl, you know, it was just automatically started shutting down.
Mm-hmm.
But my painting and stuff started taking off.
Oh.
And people always commented on the eyes, the life in the eyes. So I shut mine and I put it into my painting.
Mm-hmm.
But I would still see things, but I didn't understand it, you know, because I was a Sunday school dropout. You know, I didn't, they weren't spirit filled. I didn't understand, you know. Back then it was, you know. Anyway, I didn't understand it, and I just thought, you know. But come around 1999, and this gentleman had asked me to paint him something. You know, it was just a piece of leather that was going on the top of a box. And he had asked me to paint it because he had been out to our house. My husband was working on his car at the time. And I said, "Well, you know, what do you want it?" And he said, and this was his words, "Whatever inspires you." And that word just grabbed me, inspired. And then that started coming out, and I started to see, and it was basically like seeing Ezekiel 6:36. You know, there was the watchman, there was the, "Thus saith the Lord to the mountains and the hills and the valleys," and things like, anyway, there were different elements to it. And I started painting that out, and that's when everything exploded. I started speaking in tongues at that point.
Oh, my.
Wow.
What?
And that was not being in church. We had not been in church for 5 years.
Mm.
We had left a Baptist church.
Wow. So you were
so
baptized?
So I was reading all the time. Yeah. At home, nobody around, nothing, just, yeah.
Wow.
But we went to church right after that.
I bet you did. What is this strange
language? What is this?
Yeah, you must have.
Understanding.
I mean, were you in that? Did you know about baptism of the Holy Ghost? Did you know about speaking in tongues?
A little bit. You know what I saw on TV, you know, from TV preachers?
Really?
That's all I had.
Mm. Yeah. And you get this download right in your own home.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
I was on the floor. And it was such an intense war over this painting.
Wow.
That some people would hate it when they saw it and then get really angry.
Really?
And others would just, wow, and it glowing in this, you know, because they both ended up in that painting. It was really different.
What? That just blows my mind. I'm kind of in an awestruck moment right now.
But yeah, and then it went from there. But then over time, you know, it's...
Yeah.
And in all of that, your husband, Chuck, became quite an intercessor himself.
Yeah.
So here you are, a household with two intercessors.
Right.
That had to be interesting.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Well, there were a lot of issues at that time between us. And he had made the decision at one point, and that's very painful to say, but he had made the decision that he would not pray with me.
Mm.
And he never did again.
Really?
Yeah. So that was...
Because of the intercession part, or what?
Over the painting, you know, what he saw was, you know, he saw the man instead of the Jesus behind it.
Mm.
You know, the man I would have painted it for, even though it had been a friend of his.
Mm. Mm.
And there were issues there. And so that was a painful part of it. But, you know, we hung in there and made it through.
That is a... It's a unique thing because when, you know, to be in a household where both are in full pursuit, it seems like...
But not together.
But not together. Like you each kind of have your moments.
It's not.
Yeah, there's not a unity. But there's a stretching
that
happens. And sometimes, you know, there are other people that I know right now that are going through that, the fire, and they're just... tearing it up, consuming everything in their path that the Lord's put there, and then the spouse is kind of like, what is this? What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like this isn't you, right?
Right.
It turns into a this isn't you moment, but you guys
we did, and you know he was one of the most powerful intercessors I've known.
He really was.
Ultimately, he really was.
He was.
Yeah.
Well, I think, would you be willing to pray? I mean, just for that kind of a breakthrough? Maybe there's a listener out there right now. I think that is maybe in that struggle with, like, wanting to proceed. But, I mean, you're carrying a mantle, I believe, of prophetic artistry. I mean, you're
intercession.
And intercession.
Right.
But just to release that over... people that are listening right now, just to give them a hope and a strength and a calling to pursue the prophetic, to pursue intercession.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Father, I thank you for these hearts that are leaning in toward you, trying to decide whether to go in or whether to hold back, Lord. And I ask that you just bring a breakthrough to their hearts, to their minds, that it's okay to pursue. That you will catch them if they stumble. That you will lift them above any blowback that they get, that they needn't hold back. I just ask for breakthrough, Lord, that they clear the clutter.
Yes.
Any clutter that's in the way, you know, whether it's just stuff, you know, around the house. It's their phone, it's entertainment, it's anything that's holding them back from a full pursuit of you in the direction that you are calling them. Any sin issues, that it's okay for them to come to you and have that released without shame and without fear. In Jesus' name.
And amen.
Amen.